So, Father, we just thank you for allowing us to come together tonight and to fellowship and just to share the awesome things that you're doing in our lives and share the revelations that you're showing us in our walk and in while we're in the Word and to be able to come together and put our faith together in prayer to pray for each other and. This is just an awesome time of giving and receiving. So we just ask you, just bless this evening. We just bind up the enemy from trying to bring distractions, from affecting any of the mechanical, any of the phones, any of the computers. And we just call tonight to be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's start off. If anybody's got anything to pray for, anybody to pray for, anything on their heart they'd like to pray, let's open it up for prayer. Well, I'll start off. I just, as Michael would call Max Daddy, our dog, he's got some kind of a upset stomach or something. I came into the back room and there was little surprises for me when I came in tonight. So I just want to lift him up. I laid hands on him. I just want to put our faith together. And he's just been kind of laying around the last couple of days and not much energy. And we thought, you know, I thought it was his hips were bothering him or something like that. But now I see, you know, something's going on in the inside. So Father, right now, Lord, we just put our faith together. And Lord, you have given us pets and they're under our authority. And I just speak to whatever infirmity is on Max, and I just take authority over that infirmity, and I just command it to loose him and get off him now in the name of Jesus. I command his digestive tract and his intestines and whatever is bothering him to be totally healed in Jesus' name, totally restored. If there's any restrictions or any issues, we just speak to that now, and we command him that digestive system be totally perfect in Jesus' name, Lord. We just thank you for comforting him and taking away any discomfort and any pain, and we just thank you that he is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Need prayer?
Or? I got a little bit I'd like to share for prayer.
Okay.
The Lord has really been intensifying his dealings with me, and I'm very thankful for that. I feel like I've stepped into a whole new realm, and it's like I'm seeing things in a whole new light, and before I felt a shift in the spirit, like in my own personal life, I would say maybe a couple of weeks ago. No, actually, not even quite a couple of weeks ago. Up until that point, when I'd get into the Word, you know, I was just, man, I'd feel the presence of the Lord so awesome. It was better than ever. I mean, the more I would read and study the Word, the more his presence would increase on me, and it was just absolutely wonderful. I was communing with my Lord. He was bringing the Word to life, even as I was reading it, and then, like, even in my mind, connecting other verses with, you know, what I was reading. And then I felt a shift, like I said, about a week or so ago, and I sense I'm on like a new horizon, and the Lord is really just going me forward. And I just want the wisdom to really cooperate with the Lord. You know, I've had a weakness in the past a lot to look at myself, which the Lord's been helping me overcome that a lot, but I still need a lot of help. And I just, you know, really want to keep my eyes on the Lord. What Brother Michael Montana shared about, I think it was on Tuesday, about really knowing who we are in Christ, coming to the Lord with boldness. The Lord was really impressing that on me right as I woke up today, and I think He wants me to really get more into that mode. I feel that's one of the things He's pressing me towards, as well as just really dealing with anything in my heart that might cause my garment to be spotted by the flesh. And He had me open the Word right up to, the Lord told me, open the Word up, I got something to, you know, share with you. And so I started reading John 9 and then, you know, into John 10. And then actually before that, I was reading in, First Timothy, where, you know, he speaks of hating the garment spotted by the flesh. And, he connected that with something else. I was reading, I charge thee, and this is 1 Timothy, 6 and 13. I charge thee in sight of God, who gives life to all things, gives life to all, and of Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession, that thou keep the commandment without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I was meditating on that, keep the commandment, because the Lord's been speaking a lot to me about that and what that is. And I should say a little bit anyway. I want a lot more. but what, as I was meditating on that, I thought, without spot, yeah, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. Yeah. And the Lord's been given me a little more understanding what the garment spotted by the flesh is, you know, the works of Christ. We put on the works of Christ, and the garment, what He impressed on me was the garment spotted by the flesh is any works of man in there at all. Any little bit of my own effort or my own, you know, which can come about if there's any room for deception because of my own reasoning, anything that's just not pure works of Christ, and was meditating on that. And then He, you know, led me over to John 9 and 10 there. And so, I guess I just want to ask for prayer for, you know, the wisdom to really cooperate with the Lord and to not focus so much on what I'm feeling. I haven't really dwelt a lot on that, but I still dwell a lot more on it than I want to. And the Lord just wants me to discern by the Spirit. You know, I just want to purely discern by the Spirit, not anything that I see with my natural eyes or hear with my natural ears. And I feel like He really wants to take me deeper there, too. So just would like agreement and prayer for God to be, you know, lifted up and glorified in my life and no one or anything else.
Well, Chad, do you want to start off with prayer and we'll join in?
Sure. Sounds great. Oh, Lord, I thank You so much for the, for Your faithfulness, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy towards me, Lord, that I certainly could never deserve, Lord. In fact, the more I walk with You, Lord, the more I realize how much I don't deserve it. And yet, Lord, I know it's not about me anyway, because I've been crucified with Christ, and You're helping me not to focus on that too, Lord. And I know You want me to really focus on the seed that You put in me, Lord. Put that seed in me, and you've been doing a work in me to bring forth Your Son, Lord. And I just, Lord, I just ask You to forgive me for focusing too much on myself, and just want to confess that here and bring that into the light, Lord. And I thank You that that You are working in me to will and to do of Your good pleasure, Lord. And that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And Father, I need Your grace. I need Your wisdom to discern Your Spirit, Lord, and Your dealings with me, to discern the difference, Lord, at all times between any of my own reasoning and thinking, even what I think is good, Lord, even maybe something where You put something together in Your Word for me, Lord. Everything, Lord, I know can only be discerned by Your Spirit, and that's what I want, Lord. I just want the pure works of Christ, and I know that's what You paid for, Lord. You didn't pay for me to just do in my own failures at all or gaze at myself, Lord, but to behold your Son, Lord, be transformed into his image. So I just I thank you for the wisdom, Lord, because you said ask and believe and you'll give it to us, Lord. We ask without wavering. So I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you so much for the privilege, Lord, of being in fellowship here with my brothers and sisters, and have your way, Lord, tonight, and have your way in me, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Father, we just thank you for just bringing that conviction on Chad, you know, through a word that another brother brought forth, Lord. And we just ask you just work in all of us to convict us in the areas that we're walking in error. We're not walking right with you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for Chad. We just thank you for working in him. We just thank you for just giving him, you know, just your will in him to be right with you. And Father God, help him to get his eyes on you in all things, to be led of you in all things, and to continue just wanting to walk right with you. And Father, we just thank you for putting that in him, Lord. And continue to just speak to him through other words, speak to him through dreams. If there's anything that you need to reveal to him, speak to him, you know, through just, you know, just words of knowledge, and just show him, Lord, what is displeasing to you, and you know, just help him to just only to see in the Spirit. And to be led in the Spirit, and not to be led by his natural eyes or his natural flesh, Lord. And we just thank you for that, and we just thank you for working in him for your good pleasure. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody else want to pray?
Yeah, Father, I just thank you for, actually, Lord, for all of us to get into that deeper realm with you, Lord, and to get closer to you, Lord, and to ask you, Lord, to slice this flesh off of us, slice it off of me anyway, and Lord, push me away from the world and put a hunger in me and everybody here for the Word of God, and Chad too, Lord. We all want to be led of the Spirit. We all want to be speaking as an oracle of God, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you place that in our hearts to do it, to want it, and to seek it, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in every one of us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Your mic is, like, dragging on something, or...
My what?
Your mic is, we got like a rumble coming out of your mic. You got a fan on or something?
Yeah. You gonna
like
make
fades me? In and fades out. What?
Well, it's oscillating.
We can tell.
Okay, I'll turn it off.
But just shut off the ice oscillation. Just
okay.
Just in the room.
Oh, I knew that.
I figured you're either got a fan on or you're outside somewhere, you know.
No, I'll move the fan back so you can't hear it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Sorry about that.
All right, anybody else? Need prayer? Or... Yeah, before everybody came in, or some of you might have came in, but, you know, Wade had asked to for prayer in regards to knowing no man after the flesh, and, you know, he felt that he was the young lady or the lady he was praying for last week. He might have had some judgment towards her or something like that, and that's a knowing no man after the flesh. What Michael, you know, spoke on last week, and that is just, it's so important, because if we're seeing them in the flesh, because it's really our flesh seeing their flesh, and when that happens, we tend to judge where we tend to get critical, and we see that, you know, we need to see them the way the Lord sees them. So I've been just trying, you know, to see people as just vessels, and we don't know their background. We don't know how they're raised. We don't know, you know, where they're at with the Lord. But most people are dealing with some kind of a lie, some kind of a, you know, a spirit or a demon or something. And we see that on somebody, and they might be in the fellowship, they might be professing Christ or whatever it is, but we got to separate the flesh from the spirit and just see, you know, because if we see them after the flesh, we can tend to, you know, get prideful or arrogant, thinking that, well, we know better, or, you know, we're better than them, or whatever it is. The enemy uses that to set us up, to get us into sin, so he can come against us. So that's something I've really been praying to the Lord, to be able to just allow me to see in the spirit and see people in the spirit and separate that flesh and just have, you know, pity and mercy on some people. Because our, you know, our flesh tends to want to get into judgment, or we see somebody that's dealing with an infirmity, and right away, you know, well, they've got to be in sin or whatever it is. But you know, we're going to get spanked for that. So it's just real important to be able to just, you know, love knows no evil, and just seeing, just, you know, separating that spirit from the flesh, and loving them as they are, or where they're at. So, but that's, you know, Wade brought up at the beginning of the conference, and so I thought I'd open that up. So, all right, anybody else? I heard a little bit of feedback. Is everybody muted?
Well, I was thinking about Sharon Thompson and what you were just saying. Ties into what I was going to share, you know, know no man after the flesh. This group of Christians that we meet with, you know, when the Lord's, oh gosh, been like a little more than 4 years now, I guess, since I first came to you, started reading stuff off the UBN, and because, you know, I was seeking, and the, you know, the Lord brought me there. Anyway, and I started, you know, seeing the real truth and everything, and you know, I don't want to be there, but I'm there because my husband's there. And And probably, you know, like we have this, you know, at first I had a lot of kind of like, I guess you could say anger and unforgiveness and things about this group, because I realized how much I was deceived and other things and stuff like that. But anyway, the Lord really worked in me in that, and, you know, I can pretty much go and be with them and not feel like uptight kind of thing. I don't know quite how to explain it, but anyway, long story short, we were at this Bible study last night about the tabernacle again. And, you know, it's like last week, Merle says something about, you know, they want to know if we're going to come. And I'm like, Lord, what should I say? And I'm like, deep inside, I'm like, Lord, I don't want to go. And he knows that I don't want to go. But I felt like the Lord saying, you know, telling this that it's up to him. So, of course, he decided that we were going to go. And I know probably if I said I didn't want to go, you know, he'd be all right with, he would say okay, or would just go without me. And I felt like the Lord saying, no, I want you to go, because part of me, you know, it just so bothers me hearing things that I don't agree with. And it's kind of, it's like the Lord saying, I'm giving you, I want you to speak up when I tell you to speak up and ask questions, you know. So anyway, so last night I guess you could kind of say I stirred the pot a little bit. And they were, you know, I hear so much sinners saved by grace, and that just it just so grieved me. And the Lord, you know, is always, you know, reminding me that you were there too. You were sucked into all that. And these ones that teach, you know, they're more responsible, but, you know, they've been sucked in too. They've had it passed down to them too. And I just pray, you know, a lot for them, that the Lord open their eyes, because I'm like, Lord, you open my eyes, open their eyes. You know, I'm not any better than them. You're not a respecter person, to open their eyes and grant them repentance just like you have me. But anyway, so they were talking, you know, like I said, about, you know, sinners saved by grace, and there's this little book that goes along with this study that this one brother wrote about his thoughts and all about the tabernacle and what this, that, and the other thing means. And they, you know, the verse in Timothy 1, where it says, Paul says something to the effect that I'm the least of all saints, you know. And, you know, they were, you know, about saying he's a sinner and he's the least of all saints, some kind of thing. But, you know, they totally take that and run with that, you know. And it's like in the previous verses, you know, before that, it's saying, well, he was previously this and previously that. And so, like, we were reading in this book, and I read this one part there where Paul, you know, where this statement is made in this verse about what Paul said, and it's just like, and they're saying, you know, even Paul, you know, said he's a sinner, at least of all saints and stuff like that. And I'm like, so I spoke up, I said, you know, so I didn't speak up right away, and then someone said something or whatever, and that kind of gave me a bigger open. And I said, you know, and there's, you know, in those previous verses, you know, it says, you know, he says, I was formerly this and that. He's talking about he was a sinner, you know. And anyway, so then later, you know, they're talking more about this or whatever. And I said, so I finally spoke up. I said, I have a question. I said, if in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 says, if we're never going to get rid of sin, you know, it's not, you know, the God's not, you know, if that's not possible for us to, you know, if we're going to always have sin, so why does it say, you know, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect? And then I went on to read 2 Corinthians 4, in there where it says about Jesus being manifested in our mortal flesh. You know, it says it twice in that chapter and all. And but anyway, so, oh boy, nobody got mad or anything, you know. But it, you could see it really bothered them that I said what I said and stuff. And you know, I only heard parts of what they were saying, because I kind of was, in a sense, tuning them out because I didn't want to hear it. But it was kind of funny when I think about it now, in a sense, you know. Like, they started talking about Pharisees then, and one person says, I feel sorry for people who strive thinking that they can reach sinless perfection and stuff like that. And I think I made a comment about, you know, that it's not by our works. I was saying that it's all by grace. It's God that does it in us, you know. But anyway, long story short, you know, I basically was being, you know, not directly, but I was being called a Pharisee and legalistic, and basically was the gist of it. But anyway, so it was interesting, and I didn't get mad. You know, I tried to, really put a positive spin on it. You know, it's like, you know, it's God that does it all in you. You don't have to do it. It's all by His grace. And one person speaks up, no, it's not. I said, yeah, we have to obey Him. You know, it isn't, you know, He can give you grace to blue in the face. If you don't obey Him, it's not going to do anything. But anyway, you know, it's just, you know, it's the gist of it. But, yeah, it was interesting because I don't like confrontation. You know, I'd rather just, like, really rather just not deal with the whole thing and just not go all together, you know, to any of it. But I know the Lord wants me to be there to open my mouth for their sake. And I just really prayed, Lord, you know, please, you know, Lord, you know, open their ears and their eyes and cause them, every one of them, to really think about what was said and just look in the Word for themselves, Lord, and see the truth. Open their eyes to see the truth rather than always following man's teaching.
Amen. So, amen. Yeah, I found that when you get into situations like that, you're better off just praying, binding up those religious spirits and praying for those people, and because we can't get them into debate. If we say something and they disagree, we need to just back off, is how I feel. If we try to debate them and all that, all we're going to do is get them in judgment against us, and we're going to put them in sin. So we're better off just praying and allowing the Lord to open up the door. You know, if we have an agenda to go in there trying to change them, that's our works. But we got to let the door, you know, we got to let the Lord, you know, open up the door. So, because those are religious spirits that you're dealing with. And if their eyes aren't opened, you know, you're just in works as far as that. So, but, yeah, I think, you know, it's, I think that whole situation is, you know, God has put you there to just be praying for those people and you know, just let Him do it as far as that. So, amen.
Tim.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, I really felt strongly that the Lord really wanted me to speak up and say something, you know. I really didn't debate them. I just kind of like said what I said, and then they were all talking back and forth, and I might have said a word or two here or there, but not really much of anything after that, you know. But I know it really got them, you know. I know this one couple that there. The sister, she saw what I was saying, and I could see she was really thinking about what I said, you know. But anyway, it was kind of interesting.
Amen. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something?
Oh, initially, I think somebody else spoke up. I'm not sure who it was.
Oh, okay. I thought that was you.
It was a mystery celebrity.
Oh, Malcolm.
It was me, yeah.
What were you going to say, Malcolm?
I was just going to say, Missy, I think that was, you know, I heard David talking about, I think it was David, maybe it was you, I don't know, maybe I'm confused, but about that situation that you'd been in some conference that you'd gone to. And,
right.
And,
I didn't, but yeah.
I so empathized with that situation. I think probably a lot of folks do that are, and I think it's so cool that you're, you know, being obedient and doing, you know, that, even though it's so, you know, puts you through all the turmoil.
You know, I did talk to David, you know, once about this situation, and, you know, he says, well, you know, the Lord may, you know, give you opportunities to speak up and all, and he said, he said, hey, maybe if they don't like what they say, they'll kick you out. And I'm like, yay, maybe they will, yay. I'm like, go for it, you know. No, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do something in my flesh and
right.
You know, just, right. But, yeah, I want to be led by the Lord, but, yeah, so.
Well, I've been through some kind of similar the last couple of weeks. I played the piano at a local church here, and but I went voluntarily. You know, I wasn't like I had to go, but they just asked me to play. So anyway, but the neat thing about music is that I'm not really in a position to say anything and have anything that I have. Anything that I say be accepted or even pondered because I'm kind of, because of my decision to leave, you know, drop my membership, I, you know, what I have to say isn't really, you know, I don't have a membership card to get inside, like the song says. You need a membership card to get into people's minds there. But anyway, but there's something about music that kind of cuts through it. It's a totally different level. And it's kind of neat because you can kind of, it's like you're cutting through and reaching people at a different level that they're not really, you know, the barriers aren't up at that level. And I think the Lord can use stuff like that. But anyway, I had to play for, they have two different services. The first one's kind of a teaching kind of thing, and discussion. So somebody's up front teaching, and lots of questions and discussion, and it's kind of cool. I like that kind of environment where you're active, you know, people are all actively involved in the discussion, and, you know, what does the Lord mean by this, and the, you know, whatnot. But anyway, I have stayed away from that just because I tend to get involved and in the discussion. And I just have felt that my, for a number of reasons, that maybe it's better for me just to keep my mouth shut and just kind of stay away. Because if I'm there, I tend to raise my hand and get involved, and because I used to teach there. But anyway, but there was also a song I had to play for the next service, that I wasn't familiar with. So I was in another part of the building practicing, kind of working on the introduction and how the song goes and what key to play it in and that kind of thing. And all of a sudden I heard this door slam, somebody yell, this door slam, and somebody came running in, or walking in, and then they... Right behind me, there's another little room. They slammed that door. I thought, oh, my goodness. It's like demons manifesting. But it turned out that, you know, I knew the person that was teaching in there, and, you know, hopefully nobody's listening to this recording other than the powers that be. But anyway, so I kind of knew kind of the, you know, the tendencies of the teacher, and there's a lot of guilt and condemnation and just all this guilt. And it's like, oh, man, okay, I'm out of here. But I wasn't even there, so that was fine. But anyway, this guy reacted, and he's from the first time I saw him this last summer, I just sensed that he had demons and probably a ton of them. But anyway, I just thought, well, they're manifesting, except that I think because he was yelling out at the top of his lungs, hypocrite, hypocrite, you're all hypocrites. And I thought, well, it sounds like a pretty good assessment. But, you know, I mean, slamming doors and being destructive to property and, you know, that's that's something else. So, but anyway, one of the elders came back and was trying to deal with him physically instead of on a spiritual level, and that wasn't going very well, so the levels were raising. But anyway, so here I was trying to practice on the piano. I just kept playing, and then I kind of worked my way into some other kind of altar call type songs. with all this yelling behind me. we're talking feet away. So I was acting like I was oblivious. And then I was praying. I started praying in tongues, and I started praying a little louder and louder, and I thought, oh, hold it. Somebody might hear this. And then I'd be in real trouble. So it's kind of fun to be in the middle of something like that when you're kind of undercover. And just so you watch your P's and Q's. But I really think the Lord had me there at that time. I think, but mainly to open my own eyes to the needs and people to pray for. And I have prayed, you know, I don't know when the right time, especially in somebody else's church and whatnot, when, you know, how would you deal about, you know, when a demon manifests, when it's kind of obvious to everybody, you know, what's appropriate in somebody else's assembly, that stand up and start binding and rebuking and but I just pray that the Lord would lead, you know, if, you know, I think we're all in situations where we're kind of overwhelmed with the level of the curse in so many people around us, and, you know, and I hear all these stories of people with cancer and people that I know have cancer, and it's like I want to say, stop! What does sozo mean? What does soteria mean? You know, what is, you know, what, did you know that the gospel includes, you know, these things? And so anyway, I'm just praying for wisdom that the Lord will, that I'll be listening to his voice. And I mean, it's got to be more than just recognizing the issues and, you know, recognizing that there are demons. And I thought it was kind of interesting after this guy came in and made a commotion, and there were some of the men who were trying to deal with it. And then my brother-in-law came in and he said, you know, I'm tired of listening to this kind of, he was talking about the same discussion that was going on in there. He said, I'm just tired of hearing this kind of thing. I thought, well, you know, I didn't really respond, but I just felt like I think it's good for people to sense that there's something missing, that this isn't where it's at. This is not, you know, you hate to see God's Spirit withdrawn, but I think it's good for people to recognize that there's a huge lack. And one of my first dreams regarding this church was that everybody's in their graves, incapable of communicating, just they're dead. Everybody's dead. And the pastor's on the take, and, you know, his relationship with all these people in their graves is, you know, if they've got some money, if they owe something on their gravesite, then the pastor's, you know, is responsible for taking care of their little plot. So I thought, you know, everything since then has seemed to play into that whole scene. You know, I've got a bunch of dead people that they don't know they're dead. They think they have it all together. But anyway, those are just some thoughts. I just really appreciated what you had to say, Missy, and your situation. And, I, you know, of course, a lot of us deal with that too. So how's that for rambling?
That was good rambling. No, as far as the Lord, I had a brother share with me last week that he was asked to go to a Bible study on a, I think it was a Wednesday night at a church, and he's part of UBM, and he does, you know, he's come out of the church, but it was a friend of his who just got saved, and he said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." And he went to this Bible study, and he knew the church was pre-trib, but the guy putting on the Bible study was like an assistant pastor or something like that, and he just sat there and he prayed and he just asked the Lord to open up the door if he was supposed to talk. He said he wasn't there on any agenda, but he says, "Lord, if I'm supposed to say anything, just open the door." And the pastor was kind of you know, well, it could be, you know, pre-trib. You know, he said something about pre-trib, post-trib, or something like that. And he saw that this system pastor wasn't grounded in where he believed. So then he said, well, you know, can I share something? And he said he basically used how David, you know, talks about the different aspects of rapture or whatever. And he said he used what David said, and he just kind of, you know, spelled it out a little bit. And he just threw it out there, and he said at the end of the night, the assistant pastor came up to him and said, "Man, everything you laid out just makes sense. I'm no longer pre-trib, you know?" So sometimes the Lord will open that door, but if you got somebody who's hungry, you know, they'll accept it. But if you've got somebody that's got a religious spirit, and this is what we believe, and this is what the pastor teaches, and so that's what I believe, and all that, if they're not open to any truth, then it's real difficult. You can try to open that door or let the Lord open up that door, but as soon as you get, you know, as soon as that wall goes up, you need to just kind of back off. And the other thing is, you really got to see that. The other thing I see is that just because they say they're Christians, I mean, most of the people that we run into that call themselves Christians don't have much gospel at all. They don't have anything that was taught from the beginning. It's just another doctrine. It's another Jesus. So really, they're without. So we can't even judge them, because they're pretty much without, because they don't have the truth. So all we can do is pray for them and allow the Lord to open up their eyes. So
yeah, that's right. I was, you know, they have like a time for prayer requests, and they all these people raise their hand. They say, well, somebody in the community has cancer, or this person is, they just went to the doctor and they were just diagnosed with cancer and don't have long to live. And the response of the person up front who's supposed to pray for these people, or he does pray for them, is, oh, you know, it's so sad. And it's everybody's groaning, and then they pray, you know, please be with so-and-so. It's like, oh, give me a break. Give me a cotton picking break, you know. This, and it's so, my heart is like, stop. Just quit this. Let's deal with the situation, okay? Is it God's will? You know, God's will is for everybody to die with cancer. Okay, let's move on. Let's have our sermon now.
But that's a majority of the church. A majority of the church thinks it's normal to live in the curse. It's just that's just normal, and there's no power there. And that's how they deal with it. They don't know authority. They don't know the gospel. That's where a lot of the church is. So, amen.
I believe some of that stuff has to be shared at an individual level, though it helps. I mean, I had a lady that's going to retire soon where I work, and I said, well, I understand her frustration with work because it changes, but she's mostly leaving because her mother, she said, is getting sick. And I said, oh, and I started talking to her a little bit. And she said, well, yeah, she has cancer, and then she's getting, you know, going through the starting the stages of the getting things ready and all that. And this lady has kind of a Catholic background. And so I said, well, you know, one of the things you can do is just rebuke in the name of Jesus. Rebuke that cancer and don't receive it. Have your mom agree with you. I mean, because I'm just taking her places she hasn't been. But I said, this is something you can do. Just say it, you know, and just keep saying it to yourself and over. She says, well, yeah, I read this thing about Jesus every day. And she told me some kind of a devotional. And I said, well, that's good. I said, you know, you just go ahead and just do that. Just start rebuking the cancer. But then at the same time, not to make her feel uncomfortable, and excuse the situation, I did say, but I started talking about heaven and about Tom can't remember his last name off the top of my head.
Kruger.
Remember the guy at the gate? Kruger. Yeah, I was right. Exactly. Thank you, Tim. Gave the testimony of going to heaven. And I said, and heaven's a wonderful place, too. And I told her about the testimony. Not that I was preparing her for death, but some people don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling about a lot of stuff, you know. And so just to share, I know it's a lot easier to, when people in those groups and situations pray like that, because they don't know how to pray for healing. They don't know how to pray in faith. But if we can grab the individual, you know, and if we have any kind of rapport, even just share a little bit to get them moving in that direction, I think that's about the best we can do. And I was going to share also, you know, I've been impressed at work lately too. And I think the Lord is pressing us all, and he's pressing me. I can see it. And but at the same time, what is he pressing us to? I can relate to Missy and Malcolm. Their stories with the church and those situations, as I've had those myself. Recently being pressed more at work again, you know, you come across this pressing all the time from the Lord. And I was thinking, you know, how do you walk into this? How do you receive this? How are we supposed to? Because we can, you know, in ourselves want to stand up and, you know, correct the situation and jump out and say something. But then I was reminded how to receive this. How am I supposed to deal with these situations? You know, because you're feeling pressed. And it helped me to go over Philippians 2, because the Lord kind of brought this to my head. And it doesn't make it easy, but this is where it puts our flesh in the back seat again. And it says, it starts in chapter 1, Philippians 2, verse 1, if therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort, of meaning for consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy that you think the same, having the same love, being of one soul, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory or mean self-conceit, but in lowliness of mind or humbleness, counting one another better than, well, I would say ourselves. Not looking each other severally to his own things, but severally also to those others. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who existed in God's form. You think about it, Jesus, before he came to earth, what kind of form did he have? God's Son. You know, and then to empty all of that, I mean completeness, come as an infant and start from the ground up again as a human being. He says, having the same mind which is in Christ Jesus, who existed in God's form, counted it not being on equality with God, ought to be grasped at. You think about that, to being grasped all this from the emptiness, to be grasped how he could be in that God's form, to become empty like a man, but emptied himself, taking a bondservant's form, being made in likeness of men, and being fashioned as man, he humbled himself, being become obedient unto death, yea, death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him. You know, we're going to get exalted if we can humble ourselves. If we can really take that back seat, we're going to be humble. We can really be exalted at the same time. But if we're going to start letting that flesh come out, no matter even if it's for the right reasons we're thinking to correct others, that's not really going to help. It's better if we could humble ourselves and be a humble person. That's what Jesus did. He says, wherefore God also highly exalted him and endowed him with the name above every name, that in the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, of the things in heaven, on earth, and under earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. You know, I think Jesus gave us the epitome of humility. He came as God, in God's form. And he knew that. He knew who he was. And yet, he didn't come here to exalt himself. He came here to be the servant. He came here to help. He came here not to judge. He came here to show us love. He came here to show us how to overcome. He showed us how obedience is through suffering. He showed us all these things to help us. And he's there in our... We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues. We really need to press in and depend upon that lowliness, that walk, that ability to be like Jesus, to be the Son of God, to be the daughter of God that we need to be. And I know it's tough because the flesh is strong too. And if we give into the flesh and let it come out, and even if it's somewhat of a religious spirit, that's something we're going to have to put to the cross and crucify, because it's going to get stronger and it wants to come out. But Jesus was able to put that down. I mean, even when he was in front of Pilate, you know, and Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the ability to put you to death, basically?" And he says, "You know, you only have the authority that was given to you, and you only have that because it was given to you to do this at the time, basically. It's not what something he inherited. It's not, nobody inherits this authority. It may be something we have temporarily in our grasp, but are we supposed to be using it for God's glory or our own?" And it's something we really got to press in and examine ourselves. You know, why are we here and what are we trying to do? Trying to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus.
Hey, David.
Mm-hmm.
This is Malcolm here. I just wanted to just say something real quickly. You mentioned Jesus standing before Pilate, and Pilate was saying, "Well, don't you know, you know, like you said." But it just occurred to me that Jesus was fully aware of God's sovereignty, that God was in complete control of that whole situation. And I think that's really good for us to, I mean, that's like a huge, almost like sovereign God in one little, drama there. But, if we could just remember that ourselves when we're in our little situations, our little trials, and just remember that, well, no, the only authority you have over me, you know, if somebody who's going after us for some reason, rightly or wrongly, that's coming from God. You know, it's not, you know, the person might be unaware that God is using them as a vessel of dishonor, but if you can recognize that, if we can recognize that, that's like, it just takes the weight off, and it. Otherwise, we're murmuring in the wilderness instead of praising God and going forward, getting the priest out in front and the guys with all the armament behind them. Okay, that's it. Thanks, Dave.
I agree. I think what happens is sometimes we get pushed and pressed, and we're confused, and we're not understanding the situation until we can finally sit back and pray about it and reflect and realize, oh, wait a minute, I was just under attack. Or there was something happening here, I didn't have any control on it. It was really a spiritual battle going on, I didn't see it. You know? So, the Lord puts us there to tune us in, get us more aware of what our environment's all about, how dangerous it is out there, the air. At the same time, make us more like sheep, and so trusting him to get us through it all. I agree.
Hey, Tim?
Oh, I'm done.
Yes, Michael.
I just wondered if I could share something here.
Certainly.
First of all, just in listening to what Malcolm shared and what David said, I wanted to make a comment that Paul says, I won't build on another man's foundation. And another place he says in 1 Corinthians 3, I think it is, another foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart that except for special occasions, you know, in those situations, it's pretty hard to build when you're building on somebody else's foundation, when they're not a foundation of the Word of God, not Jesus Christ and him crucified, resurrected, raised from the dead, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and us walking in the same Spirit. I mean, it's pretty hard to build on somebody else's religious things, and I think of that scripture that says, and why do you seek the living among the dead? When you're dealing with these religious institutions, most of them are clueless, you know, and the people there are clueless. And the scripture that comes to me in those situations is, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. That our life should be like that, like it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. But salt causes people to be thirsty when they taste of salt. And he says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And I believe that really the best way to work with religious people is not to go into their institutions and to try to be light in the middle of on another foundation, but in the world around us and in the neighborly relationships and in those that are the salt of our life would cause a thirst within them. And as he says, when you sanctify the Lord God in your heart, then be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. That our light, he says, you are epistles known and read of all men. And when we're in a place where we're truly filled with light, we're a city that cannot be hidden, like a city on a hill, the light of the world. You're the light of the world. And I believe that more and more, these institutions are going to become more and more irrelevant as the days get darker and as the intensity level increases and as things fall apart more and more in our society. And they're going to come to a place where it says in the scripture, the hirelings are all going to, it doesn't say some of them are going to flee. It says they all will flee when the wolf comes. The business of religion is about to become very non-profit. You can't find people that are making a bunch of bucks in Syria preaching the gospel, or in North Korea, or in China, or in Indonesia, or other places where people suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. They don't get a nickel for that. They pay a price to be a vessel there. More and more, that's going to become the issue here. But I think that if we can be consistent, there's going to come a time when that scripture will be fulfilled that says, they're going to come asking you a reason of the hope that is within you. Because if you, it's the city, it's on a hill, cannot be hidden. It's not going to be hidden, especially in this hour. And right now, while everybody's still in a time of prosperity, there's still a little bit of arrogance of flesh all over the place and religious, but that stuff's going to become so irrelevant. Religion is just flat going to be, they're going to realize they don't have anything that's sufficient for the storm. That's okay in a time of peace. The house on the rock and the house on the sand both stand just fine in a time of peace. But in crisis, the Lord says, I shake yet once more, not the earth only, but the heavens. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of the things that are shaken, so that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. It's going to be the catalyst that brings forth the true, is the shaking away of the false. And more, religion is going to become absolutely inconsequential and irrelevant. And those that are standing with hope and with joy, unmoved by what circumstances are saying or what the world's doing, are going to stand out like a light in a dark, dark place. And if I may, I wanted to say something. Chad, what he shared a little while ago stirred something really deep in my spirit. And I just want to say this. I really believe with all of my heart, when Chad was talking about that yearning in his heart, for just that stirring that's going on in his spirit. And I sense the same thing. And we've talked about this before, but I really believe, you know, it talks about the early and the latter rain. And there's a rain that prepares the harvest, and the latter rain is greater than the former rain. And I believe with all of my heart that that's the latter rain is beginning to come upon the true saints of God, and there's going to be out of it a real fruitfulness is going to come, a mighty anointing is going to come. And I sense in my spirit right now that word, I think it's in Psalm 110 maybe, and it says something to the effect of thy people shall volunteer freely in the day of thy power. And there's I really believe that in my spirit, I sense, as just that word that Elijah, when he was out there and he sent his servant out, he says, go out on the hill. And he came back and says, thy servant sees nothing. He says, go again.
Michael, something's going on. You're messing up there. I think you got your cord or something messed up. There's no audio for about the last 15, 20 seconds.
I can try it like this. Is this any better?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, anyway. It says Elijah went out and he told his servant to go out. And he says, This is after 3.5 years of famine, and no water hadn't rained on 3 years and 6 months on the earth. And he sent his servant out, and his servant went out on the hillside. He said, go see. And he came back. He said, thy servant sees nothing. He says, go again. He went out again. He says, go again. The seventh time he comes back and says, I see a little cloud like the size of a man's hand. And Elisha says, run, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And I hear in my spirit, brothers and sisters, I hear the sound. I see a little cloud on the horizon in my spirit. And I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And I believe it's that word, to him that has, to him shall be given more. He that has not, from him shall be taken even what he has. And what Brother Henry Gruber said, get ready, brothers. There's getting to be ready to be a multiplication in the Spirit. And right now, there's a grace of God, and we're coming to the day of his power. And there's a time when God is going to visit the true saints of God. and that same rain that rains on the garden, it brings forth the true, and it also makes the tares grow up, and the weeds grow up. And I think that this same showers are going to have the same effect. It's going to bring everything to fruition. But I just, in my spirit right now, I think of that scripture that says, being born again, it's in 1 Peter 1, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass. The glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And there's something right now that when we plant corn in a garden, out comes corn. Everything brings forth after its own kind. And it, as that scripture that Michael was talking the other day about, Michael Hare was speaking in 1 Corinthians 15, for this corruptible, no, it says, flesh and blood, brethren, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass this saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point is this, we've had a planting in our lives right now. And it's incorruptible seed by the word of God. It's the nature of Jesus Christ, and it's going to bring forth after its own kind. And what it says in the fourth chapter of Mark, the kingdom of God is as a man casts seed in the ground, and he rises up day and night, and he knows not how it grows, but the earth brings forth of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You've had a planting, we've all had a planting of the Lord in our lives, that incorruptible seed. And if that thing is nurtured and watered, it will bring forth. The reason he said he rises up day and night, it's almost like, is this thing going to grow? Is it not going to grow? Brethren, this thing is coming forth, and the nature of Jesus Christ is going to be manifest in us. Paul says, I travail in pain again until Christ, travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. Christ is growing in our lives, that nature of Jesus Christ, by the planting of that born-again experience and at the watering of the Holy Spirit, and he's getting ready to bring forth. And I can tell you in my spirit right now that we're approaching a day of... it's going to be a strange contradiction, because on one hand, for those that are pursuing the Lord, whose hearts are toward him, there's getting ready to be a great multiplication. To him that has, to him shall be given more, and he will have abundance. But to him that has not, from him is going to be taken what he has. There's going to be the same thing happening at the same time. It's a judgment on the blindness of hearts of those that will not love the truth, and they're going to have poverty. But those that are hungry for the Lord, prepare your hearts, brothers and sisters. Prepare your hearts. Stretch, that scripture in Isaiah 54, where it says, stretch forth your tent stakes, enlarge the borders of your habitation, where you're going to break forth on the right hand and on the left. There's getting ready to be a visitation, but this is on those who have truly set their hearts for the Lord, because it's in the day of the Lord is in his heart, but he's getting ready to prepare people. He's not going to have the devil go out with a roar, and then he himself go out with a whimper. God is going to have a great manifestation of his glory on this earth. As he said to the church of Thyatira, and he says, he that overcometh and keepeth my works to the end, I will give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them. No, he says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter, they shall be dashed into shivers, even as I've received my Father. Christ, it says that about the head, Jesus Christ, twice in the scripture, and two times it says the same thing about his body. He is the head, we are his body. And God is going to have a people that manifests his authority and his glory. And right now, this is the preparation, and that's going to be that great abundance of rain that comes upon us in the Spirit that prepares us for this hour, because we need a new anointing. When the early church had great grace upon them all, we need a greater grace in this hour. And I'm just to tell you, brothers, God's troubling the water. Get in.
Amen. That was good. I really see that we can't build on another man's foundation. And going in amongst the dead and seeking the living, if we're amongst the dead, we need to be a light. And hopefully the dead will see the light in us, but trying to resurrect the dead that doesn't want to be resurrected is going to be a little difficult. But if they see Christ in you, that, you know, we are the light. We are the light on the, or the city on the mountain. And they're drawn to that light. So when we're at work, when we're, you know, amongst the people of the world, we have to walk as Christ walked. We can't put a basket over our light and start acting like the world or start acting like them. We've got to walk in love and humility and just show Christ, and those people will be drawn to that light. And I totally agree that that cloud is on the horizon, and we're seeing, you know, people being delivered of stuff, and God is really working. There's a lot of tribulation going on, just perfection, just to expose what's in a lot of people, and people are getting free. And I truly believe we're on the cusp of something, you know, great, that great manifestation is coming. And that was awesome. Okay. Anybody else have a comment or a thought?
Oh, Eric.
Diane?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Okay. All right. How about a testimony? Does anybody have any testimonies they'd like to bring forth?
I have one.
Okay. Let's start. How about Linda? I think you.
Yes. Now Mike's on the line, right? Michael Hare.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you know, he prayed for Tammy, who had been sick. Now, is Mike being able to hear this? Because
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
You know,
no, he just muted his mic and turned his fan back on.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
I can hear.
Oh. But anyway, he prayed for Tammy a couple of conferences ago, and I just Tammy called today. She said, "Mother, when Michael Hare prayed for me, I was healed the next day." She had been sick for 2 weeks and just was totally behind on everything, and she felt so good. The next day, she was busy catching up, you know, with everything she had to do. And so that's why I hadn't heard from her. So anyway, Michael Hare, thank you. And she's just grateful for the conference prayer. And she said she just had total strength the next morning. It was like night and day. The first time you prayed, you know, I had you pray again, but it really wasn't necessary.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's Jesus. That ain't me.
I know, but my point is, so I'm just thankful and wanted to report the success.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, I'm just very thankful.
Amen. Now, this is so awesome. I mean, just come together in a body and putting our faith together and having a testimony like that, I mean, just You don't see that in the church because they don't know their authority. They don't know what the word says. I think it's awesome where we can come together, put our faith together, and bless, you know, just, you know, bless somebody like that.
It was a miracle because she was just sick for 2 weeks, couldn't get out of bed. It was a miracle, the prayer, power, and faith. And she's just very thankful, and she's still catching up. But God just did a great work.
Amen. We serve an awesome God.
Amen.
Hey, Linda?
Yes.
I wanted to thank you a few weeks back, that's probably maybe a month ago, that you gave your testimony how you received the Holy Spirit. That was really good. I pressed you for that because I wanted to hear it, and it was a really good testimony.
Oh, good. Well, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I'm glad it blessed you. I tell you what, I pray in tongues all the time. I pray in tongues while we're on this conference call. I have learned the benefit of praying that way for God to make the crooked places straight for me, my family, and people that I minister to. It's just the neatest gift. And so I'm glad that helped you.
Amen. Hey, Belinda, did you have a testimony you wanted to share?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just had a little dream the other day, and I just thought maybe somebody might be blessed by it because it, you know, it's just something that I just knew that I think everybody knows that my husband went to be with the Lord back on July 4th of last year, and his birthday's coming up in a couple of weeks. So I just kind of felt like the enemy might be just trying to come against me. And the other night I had a dream where I was in a crowd of people, and all of a sudden I looked up and I saw this man in the distance, and he stood a head above everybody in the crowd. You know, it was easy to spot him because he was just a whole head taller than everybody there. And when I looked at him, I realized that it was Alan. And I yelled out to him, it's like I could tell it was him, but he never turned around. And so I started walking towards him, and I kept yelling at him, saying, "Alan, it's me, it's Belinda." But he never turned around. He just kept walking away. And so I started to run. And when I did, it seemed like the faster I ran, the further away he got to where he was just completely gone. And I woke up from the dream, and I went and sat in my office for a little while, and I just kind of sat there, and I was pondering over that. And I realized that that was just an attack of the enemy, you know, just to try to, you know, take my land from me, you know, and trying to pull me back into, you know, sadness and just self-pity or, you know, just what the enemy tries to do in a situation like that. But this time I was prepared for the enemy. You know, I had on my armor. I had my shield in one hand and my sword in the other hand. And I just, you know, the Lord had given me such good discernment. I just knew I just knew immediately that that was just an attack of the enemy to try to take my land away from me. So, you know, and I wasn't going to go there. And I just praise the Lord for giving me, you know, that discernment that we have to be on guard for totally be on guard for the things that the enemy is going to try to come against us with, especially now that we know what time it is. You know, it was a simple little dream, but it was a very important dream. And I just appreciate the Lord giving me that to show me that, you know, that I'm overcoming in this area of my faith. That I'm trusting the Lord because I know that my husband's with the Lord. And I know that he's very happy up there. And I'm so grateful because I had prayed and asked the Lord, you know, to save my husband, and he did. And so, you know, I'm just very joyful for that. Yes, there's times when I miss him and I'm sad at times, but that's okay. Because, you know, I don't stay stuck there. I know that the Lord has a purpose for my life, and I'm really looking forward to what that purpose is. And I'm just grateful that the Lord brought me up here, and that I'm growing, and I'm learning to understand things a lot better, and because the body around me has been so encouraging and is helping me so much, and I'm so grateful for these things, and praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, the neat thing... Go ahead, Michael.
Hi, Belinda.
Oh, yes.
No, I said Belinda. Belinda Anderson.
Oh. Hey, Michael.
Hey, would you say that at some point in time that you really looked to Alan for everything at one time?
Yeah, I left out that part. I'm sorry. Yeah, the Lord had showed me after Alan went to be with the Lord that I had made an idol out of my husband. And I didn't realize that I had done that. And the Lord, that's why I knew that I was going to have to stay down in Florida for a little while, because the Lord had a lot of things to work on me in that respect. You know, my husband was a vice president of his company. He was a very intelligent man. He held many degrees, and he was just a very, you know, and I had just kind of put him on a pedestal because of all of these earthly accomplishments, and I didn't realize that I had done that. And I realized that I was just always lifting and exalting him all the time. You know, and the Lord had to show that to me, you know, in various ways, and you know, it's just, it takes the Lord to show you these things, because I had no idea that I was doing that. You know, and our God is a jealous God. You know, we can't put anything above him, or in front, you know. We just have to be willing to give everything up for God.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful that the Lord showed me that I had done that, because I just didn't see it until after Alan went to be with the Lord. But, you know, I prayed, and, you know, and I asked the Lord to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I remember going, reading all the way through Psalms 119. It's an awesome Psalms. You know, to study when you're going through something like this. And I'm so grateful that the Lord showed me that, and that you can make idols. And also the Lord showed me that you can even make idols from the memory of somebody, and not to get caught up in that. That's a very subtle attack from the enemy.
Amen. Well, that's interesting, where... Because I know the Lord has given you a lot of dreams, and has guided you in a lot of dreams. But, you know, at the same time, the enemy can bring in a counterfeit to try to get us to stumble, or try to get our eyes on ourselves and off the Lord, get us into worry and fear, or get us back into emotions and flesh. And so, you know, the Lord can use dreams to bless us. So we got to have discernment on the dreams that we get, because they're not all from the Lord. Amen.
Absolutely. Amen.
So I think it's awesome. He speaks to us in dreams, and, you know, gives us directions. I've been praying, because usually I've only gotten a couple dreams a year, and, I've been praying that he would give me more dreams and guide me in my dreams. And I've been praying for all the gifts, actually, just open up, you know, the gifts as far as discerning of spirits and words of wisdom. And I'm just, Lord, you don't have because you don't ask. So I've just been praying just to, you know, open whatever the Lord has for me. And he started to give me more dreams. And I'm just getting little snippets. I mean, I had a dream that another, you know, brother in the fellowship had a land, you know, had some land. He was with my son, and they went out to look at this land, and the land was full of gold. And he was, you know, I think it was a relative's land or something like that. And they were looking to sell the land, and we, you know, we're looking at acquiring the land. And I was like, "Are you sure that there's gold on that land?" And he's like, "Oh yeah." And I said, "Do they know the gold's on the land?" And he's like, "No, they have no idea." But he said the land is full of gold. So I saw that as a promise, and then I forgot about it. But you know, a few nights, I don't know how long ago, maybe a week later, I had another dream, and I woke up and I remembered the dream was about acquiring the land. But that's all I could remember of the dream, that we were acquiring the land. So I just, you know, just another kind of confirmation. So I've just been praying that the Lord continue to open up the dreams and just give guidance, just give revelation in that. So all right. Anybody else have a testimony or maybe a testimony on how God, you know, guided you through a dream, or maybe a dream to share, something like that? Now don't everybody be shy now. Amen. How about any revelation, anything the Lord showed you in the Word this week? I'll share something. This was the morning after Jackie had the breakthrough and came on and, you know, was sharing about the bondage that her family had put her in with those religious spirits. And I got up the next morning and I opened up to, it was actually the end of James. And it says, "If a man thinketh himself to be religious, why he bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his heart, this man's religion is vain." And when I looked up that, the word religious in the Strong's, it said ceremonious in worship, grand and formal occasions, devoted to ceremony or ritual. And I thought, well, that's pretty right on. And so that is all, you know, the vain is, you know, devoid of truth. So there's no truth behind it. It's just a big ceremony. It's just a big ritual as far as that. And then it goes on and says pure religion. And when I looked up pure, it was, you know, purified by fire. And undefiled before our God and Father is this. And I looked up undefiled, and it said unsoiled. And the Lord always gives me word pictures as far as that. And I've got a 4-month-old, you know, running around, my new grandson. But when I read that unsoiled, I saw it as a diaper, where on, you know, that ceremonious religion is nice and white on the outside, but when you open up that diaper, it's full of soil and urine and stench. And you know, that's, you know, the, you know, they worry about the outside of the cup being clean when the inside is not clean, is not purified. But it says that religion that's undefiled, it goes on to say, is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. So when I saw that fatherless, I saw that, you know, that those are people that don't have a father, meaning don't have God in their life. And the widows in their affliction are the ones that lost their husband or, you know, lost Jesus. They might have, you know, had Jesus once, but a lot of times because of religion, you know, they've been hurt through religion and they're in affliction. Or it's, you know, the people that are being afflicted or oppressed by, you know, demonic spirits or the, you know, the burdens of life or troubled and stuff like that. But, you know, those are who we're to be administering to, not the ones that think they have Jesus and are all puffed up and full of pride in their own doctrine. And it says, and to keep oneself, so we need to keep ourself unspotted from the world. And so, you know, we got to keep our garment clean, our works, you know, our righteous works have got to be clean and, you know, and unspotted in our garment. So I thought that was interesting because I got that the next morning after, you know, Jackie shared the bondage that her religious family had her in. So I thought that was pretty cool. All right. Anybody else have anything on their heart?
Hey, Brother Tim.
Hey, Sue.
Yeah, I have a praise report. I got a car today.
Awesome.
A 94 Lincoln Town Car for $1,500. And I just got to get it inspected tomorrow. But the interesting thing about that is it... I didn't know if the Lord wanted me to look for one, or I didn't even hardly pray about it. I felt like the Lord just gave me a peace about it, that I didn't have to be concerned about it. And here my family, my relatives, my my stepdaughter's husband, they've been helping me with Kim's estate, you know, when Kim passed away. They've been such a blessing for me. They've helped me out so much. And before Kim passed away, they didn't have hardly anything to do with me. But now they've been so helpful. And Ryan, Kim's sister's husband, helped me to help me by finding this car. And he said that the Lord had drew him to keep looking for one for me. And I just was so blessed by it, and the people that I got it from, it was just a one-owner car. They had it for 20 years, and it was driven by a lady, an elderly woman that had just passed away, I guess, about 3 or 4 years ago, and it hadn't been used since then. But it's just, I ended up, when I got the car, there's two members of that, the one that owned the car, talked to them, and I says, you know, the Lord will bless you because you helped out a widow that was in need. I was in need of a car. They even saw the car that I had, that I was driving, that it, you know, it's probably, you know, might be worth $500 or something because it's that old. It's not 1988. And they saw that car, and I says, you just blessed me by giving me one that I can drive and go on a trip because I want to go to Tennessee. and I also told my stepdaughter's husband that the Lord will bless them because they helped widow out, you know. And I saw how much he was concerned for me, that I would have a car that I could, you know, that would be reliable. So praise the Lord, I'll be able to. You know, when you brought forth that scripture and stuff, I just had to say something. So, and I, funny thing is too, I had a dream. Like when I found out about the car, this elderly man that, I mean, here I'm an elderly person too. So, but anyway, he's in his 80s, the one that had the car. And when I told him I was the widow, he just sparked up, you know, his eyes were all sparkly. Then he started to say, well, you can call me RJ and all this, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't know where he is, if he's in the Lord or not, but, you know, I don't know if there was an interest there or anything, but the funny thing was I had a dream the next night, and in the dream that I had, it was like I was at a theater and I had just walked out or something, and there was this one white-haired man, older man, and came over to me and started talking to me. And as I was talking to him, this other white-haired man came and started talking to me, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? You know? And then this one of them said, oh, I'd like to take you out here, or something along those lines. You want to take you out or go with you somewhere, you know? And I said, no, I said, I really can't do that. I'm waiting for my husband. And in the dream, I knew that I wasn't talking about my husband on earthly husband who had passed away. I was talking about the Lord Jesus. In my dream, I knew that, you know, so that just, you know, the dream blessed me, and, you know, for the car, you know, the Lord brought it through. The Lord, you know, and even Brian said, the Lord found this for you to use. So praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Boy, you like those big boats, huh?
Hey, you know what, though? 88, I'll tell you what, that 88 is like a truck. I mean, it is heavy. It is heavy. I couldn't believe the difference when I rode in that 94. That 94 was like a piece of cake. It's light. And the body of the 94 is a lot smaller. And it's, like I said, it doesn't feel so heavy when you drive it. So, yeah, but that way, when I'm thinking, I don't know if I want to part with that. It's like a truck, and it's got a, you know, I can pull stuff with it because it's got. I don't know. Lord knows, Lord, he's going to help me to know what to do with it.
Awesome, amen. Awesome. It's not a truck; that's a tank.
I know. Yeah, 88. It's heavy. It's heavy. It's so heavy. The doors are starting to sag, and I have to lift up on them to open them up. Some of them, you know, it's like it's a four door. So
awesome. So when are you planning your trip down?
I would like to come down in March and stay a few weeks.
Awesome.
What the Lord can do for me for that. He wants. And my tag. I picked up the tag, got a new tag for the car, and it's got the initials JDB. And when I looked at it, I thought, Jesus the boss. So that's what came to me. Jesus the boss. He's my boss. He's my Lord. He's my husband. Amen.
On that old 88, you can do like Brother Al did. Had a friend, an acquaintance that I knew. He smoked pot a lot, and he was kind of a welding artist. And what he did, he took his car, cut it off right behind the driver's seat and the rider's seat in the front, and cut the top of the car off. It was a Cadillac, old Cadillac. And then he made a truck out of the back, took the back seats out and made the truck out, put a piece of plywood as the back window. And that was Brother Al's truck.
That would be pretty good, but I think the suspension is kind of, it's like the front end goes up a little bit more than it should. You know what I mean? It pulls on things a lot through the years, but yeah, that would be great if somebody wanted to do that.
Yeah, I saw somebody took one of those old winged Cadillacs and cut the back off and made the trunk into a couch. So it was a couch with these wings coming out, and it was pretty slick. But, all right, anybody else have a testimony? Want to brag on the Lord?
Jim?
Yes. Hey, Marlon.
I'm just going to share how the Lord protected me yesterday from being in what could have been a really bad accident. I had a flatbed behind my pickup, and I had an irrigation motor on it, and I was going down the country road here on gravel, And I seen this lady, she'd come out of her place, and she was getting her mail. And she backed up and backed into her laneway, and I just figured she'd stay there till I was past. And when I got close to her, she started driving, coming forward. And I thought, well, she'll probably make a right turn, and I'll just meet her. But she didn't. She pulled, when I got just right up to her, she pulled right out in front of me. And I knew I couldn't stop because I had that weight behind. And I could see when I saw her, she had the fear of God in her, because there was a child sitting on the passenger side, and that was right where I would have hit the pickup. But somehow the Lord stopped that. I mean, I don't know if you could have stuck a broom handle between the two vehicles when I stopped, but I didn't hit her, and I knew immediately that was the Lord that stopped it, because there's no way I could have stopped otherwise. So I just praise the Lord for taking care of me.
Amen. That's awesome.
Hey, Belinda, tell them about that one you had.
Tell them about what?
No, Belinda Anderson.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, it was, I think it was last week. Yeah, it was last Wednesday, coming back home from, we had been at the Bible study at Sandy and Jeff's house, and I was heading back towards 411, and I guess I was a couple miles out, and there's a really sharp curve at one point where you can't really see until you get around the other side of the curve. And just as I was going around the other side of that curve, and I think I was going about 45, which is, I believe, the speed limit through there. And just as I was coming around that curve, there was a little black car that was at a complete stop right there in the lane. And there was no time to really stop. I mean, by instinct, I went to put my foot on the brake, and I don't even recall if my foot even touched the brake. But there was just no time to stop. And it had been raining, and it was drizzly, and the pavement was all wet. But all of a sudden, that truck just stopped. It didn't make a sound. It didn't slide. It didn't skid. It didn't do anything. It just absolutely came to a complete stop. And I know if I would have hit that brake, that's not what would have happened. That truck would have probably slid sideways and still slammed right into that car, because I was just right there upon her. And I looked over to the left of me, and there was a white utility truck sitting off to the left. And I know that guy was just looking over there like, there is no way. How did that white truck not eat that little black car? You know, there was just like, I know he was just like, how did that happen? How did that truck just stop like that? And I believe that whole thing was just orchestrated by the Lord for that man. Because, you know, we believe in miracles. You know, we can expect them. You know, the woman sat there for about another 10 seconds, and it was the strangest thing, because she was just sitting there. Even after I was kind of behind her, she would look in her mirror just kind of like, yes, she saw that I was there. And then after about 10 seconds or so, then she finally just kind of meandered over to the left there and got out of the way. It was just, the whole thing was just so bizarre and so strange, because no one in the right mind would have stopped a vehicle there on purpose. And her car wasn't disabled or anything. She had just stopped there. But then as she got out of the way and I went on, I realized that I felt like the Lord had orchestrated that whole thing, and it was for that man to see that miracle. And that possibly he would go back and tell other people, you're not going to believe what I saw today, because it was just impossible for that white truck not to hit that black car. So I just praise the Lord for that, that we just never know how the Lord's going to, when he's going to use us and how he's going to use us, but we always need to be ready to be used of the Lord.
Amen. That's so awesome. You know, this, I think... You're sharing that testimony, and Marlon shared here's the testimony, and it's just, it's so awesome that we can come together in a group of, you know, 25, 30 people or whatever, and just hear testimonies every week of what the Lord is doing. And I think it's awesome. And a lot of times I take these testimonies and I'll share them with people whenever there's an occasion to share a testimony as far as what the Lord is doing. And it's the Lord is teaching me that testimony is how to, speak to people, because you're just bragging on the Lord. You're just sharing a miracle. You're sharing something the Lord did, something. And it's up to them to believe because the flesh will try to rationalize and take God out of it. But, that's up to you. Sometimes it's, when I shared, I shared with that barber last week that I saw a leg grow out. I knew that rocked his boat. He was like, that happened after time, right? And I says, no, I physically saw it grow out. He says, come on, get out of here. And I says, no. And I mean, he got excited. He says, I've never seen anything like that. I said, you just have to have faith. So it's like, I remember Trish sharing one night when she was listening to David years ago when he was on Pal Talk, and somebody called up and was sharing testimony that they'd prayed the week before for somebody and it was a pretty awesome healing that the person got. And so they're sharing the testimony of, this person being healed. And David just said, praise the Lord. Anybody else? And Trish was like amazed that, it was just so common to see answered prayers and see testimonies and that it was like, this is awesome. I mean, this is what the body is all about. So I think it's really neat that we can come together and just, share what God is showing us and what God is doing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Who else has got a testimony? Anything on anybody's heart?
I have two more prayer requests, if that would be appropriate.
Certainly. That's what tonight's for.
Okay. Well, I just I was just notified about a friend that lives in another town that the doctor said she had cancer and a month to live. So I started praying for her, in the spirit today. And I'd like for you all to join with me. I have the second one is a gentleman that's in the hospital. He's been unconscious for 20 days. And his eyes are just beginning to open, but they don't know if there's brain damage. And, we know God can fix that as well. So could you pray for those two things? Agree with me?
Sure. I mean, do you want to pray and we'll agree with you?
Well, you go ahead and pray and I'll agree with you. That's how it worked last time really well.
All right. So let's all put our faith together. And right now, Linda's got a friend that's got, has been diagnosed with cancer. So we just come together right now. We just forbid that cancer. We just rebuke that cancer off this woman right now in the name of Jesus. And we command that cancer to go. And we just command her to be healed in Jesus' name. So we just thank you, Lord, that you are just awesome, that she was healed. And we just put our faith together right now, and we command that cancer to go in the name of Jesus. And this gentleman that's coming out of unconsciousness, we just speak to that brain right now. We come against any brain damage. We call that brain to be whole in the name of Jesus, totally functional in Jesus' name, that brain is perfect in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for just working in these two people to draw them closer to you and draw them closer to your fullness, Lord. And if they don't have the fullness of you, Lord, we just pray for their true salvation. And we just thank you for these two people. And we just thank you for working in them. And we just thank you for the miracles that you're doing right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, can I add a little something to that?
Yeah.
Just jump in, man.
Okay. Well, Father, and this lady that they told her that she has cancer, Lord, we come against that cancer like Tim said. but also we come against the spirit of death in the name of Jesus, and we command it to go in Jesus' name. And we also command the spirit of the fear of cancer to go in Jesus' name. And we command every cell, every organ, every tissue in her body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Linda's going to come back with a great testimony about her. And Lord, we thank you for this man. Also, Lord, that Tim has prayed for, and I believe with him. I'm hooking my faith up with him as with everybody else in this room, and we're going to believe a miracle here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you,
Lord.
God.
Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? Anybody else on your heart to pray for? Anybody you want to lift up? Or maybe you need prayer? Let's put our faith together. All right.
I'd like to pray, if I could.
All right, Michael.
Yeah. Well, Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, and I thank you that this friend of ours, this old friend of ours from years back, Lord, that died, I lift up his family to you, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you give them. I know that the wife was saved at one time, Lord, but if she's not, Lord, I ask that you draw her back to you and grant repentance, Lord, that this time that she would just grab a hold of you and just hold on, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that her daughter's going to do the same thing. I at one time she was saved too, and I've lost contact, Lord, but you know. And I ask that you draw that whole family together, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that in it in a mighty way, in Jesus' name. And Lord, you know, my wife down there, you might just give her a little touch too. Matter of fact, just give her a big touch, Father, and I thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for what you're doing right now down there in Hot Springs, Arkansas, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, I've got somebody. There's a young man in our fellowship that was just texting with a young lady that he had met, and apparently a text came down. He just texted, "Hey, how you doing?" And he got a text back saying, "Well, I forget how it went, but it was something, you know, other than the rheumatoid arthritis and some other, I don't know, she had two main issues, and, you know, I'm doing pretty good." And he just kind of looked at that, and then another text came down and said, "You know, sorry for my sister, you know, she had my phone." And he shared that with his dad, and his dad looked at it and says, "You know what? I think her little sister is the one that texted and exposed these things that she's dealing with." And he's like, "No, no way. So she's only like 8 or 9 years old, and I don't think she could spell rheumatoid arthritis." And he says, "Okay." So he ends up, he said the Spirit of the Lord just came on him, and he started just, he said it was like a huge multi-page text, and he was just you know, sharing one scripture after another scripture. He said the Lord just kept giving him scriptures, and he just kept going. He said it was the longest text, but it was all scripture. He said the Lord just poured it all out. And so he ended up sending that text to her, and it was all based on healing and standing in faith and the promises and that. And then afterwards, she texts back and she says, "Hey, I really needed that." And it turns out it was her little sister that sent that text. And if she wouldn't have sent that text, I don't think this young lady would have revealed to him what the struggles were going on in her life. I mean, she's only like 16, 17 years old, I think, and she's got rheumatoid arthritis. So, you know, he shared that testimony. He sent her a bunch of scripture. I don't know where she stands with the Lord. You know, I believe she's a church Christian, but I think I would like to put our faith together tonight. I don't know her name, but that doesn't matter. The Lord knows who she is, but she's on my heart right now. So, Father, right now we got this young lady that has been diagnosed with the bad report and rheumatoid arthritis and something else. I don't recall what it is, Lord, but you know what it is. So, Lord, I would like to put our faith together right now, Lord, and those scriptures that were sent to her. Father, I just ask that you just put a hunger in her to seek out the truth, to seek out your word, to understand her authority, to understand the promises that you have given her, Lord. If she's under a false teaching, Lord, I just ask you just take the scales off her eyes, and Lord, you just fill her full of your faith, Lord. We just put our faith together that you will fill her full of faith, that she will step out and see the truth, and that truth will set her free. And Lord, right now, I just come against these false symptoms, this bad report, whatever it is, this arthritis, you know, whatever's going on in her body right now, and we just rebuke that devil off her. We just forbid these symptoms from manifesting in her, and we just call her to be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for her little sister for exposing this so we could come together, because Lord, we know you're sovereign, that you wanted this exposed, you wanted those scriptures to be sent to her, you gave those scriptures to that young man, and you poured that into him, Lord. And so, Father, we just ask that you just send somebody to water that seed, that you just give her a hunger for your word, give her a hunger for your truth, Lord. And we just thank you that there's going to be a miracle in this situation, that she's going to come to the fullness of you. And we just believe that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Was it that she had fibromyalgia?
I think that was the other one. One of those other $15 names. But so we rebuke that fibromyalgia in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
And just command it to go in the name of Jesus.
My brother?
So, yes.
There's someone that just asked me about Peg Barber. She is in a hospice right now, and they say that she could go anytime. She was diagnosed with cancer, and she has dealt with abuse a lot of years, and has had bitterness and hardness, unforgiveness. So if we could agree in a prayer that she would be healed. She also had a tear in her aorta, I guess it was. So, or we just lift up Peg Barber to you and just ask that you would just work on her body, bring total healing and restoration to her body. No matter what the people say, that she has days, maybe hours. Lord, you are sovereign, and you are the great physician. Lord, you can heal this one. And we ask that you would, and that you would get all the glory and praise, all the glory and honor and praise, and come against that spirit of death also, that it would not affect her at all, and that she would just have a forgiving heart towards all that have hurt her in the past. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So, Father, you are just all about mercy, Lord, and we just ask you just... just give her mercy, and you just speak to her, you know, in her dreams, speak to her in her mind, allow her to get, you know, just right with you, Lord. Allow her to, you know, just to bear herself to you, the hurts that are in her to be able to forgive. So, Lord, we just ask you just send an angel and to administer to her, Lord, so she can just get right with you. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you for that mercy and grace in her. And just bless her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? We've got about a minute left. Well, then, let's just close in prayer. So, Father, we just thank you for another awesome night. We just thank you for these awesome testimonies of what you're doing in life, you know, people's lives. And we just thank you for being sovereign, and we thank you for your angels that watch over us and protect us, you know, in situations. And we just thank you for the truth that we've got in you and in your word. We thank you for just the authority you've given us and opening our eyes and to that authority and allowing us to walk in that authority and in the truth, Lord. And we just thank you for just leading us to this fellowship and this time together where we can just pray for each other and lift up other people and that might not have anybody to pray for them. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the miracles you did and that friend of Linda's, you know, just raising her up from her sickness and her giving you the glory. And we just praise you for that, Lord. We just praise you for what you're doing in all of us, Lord. And just giving us a hunger for righteousness, giving us a hunger to get separated from this flesh and to get separated from just the bondages that are trying to keep us bound up. And we just thank you for your truth that we've been set free in Jesus' name. And the truth of walking in faith, that it is done. And we just thank you for just all these truths, Lord, that we are getting free in Christ. And we just thank you for the renewed mind of Christ in all of us. And help us to just, you know, continue that walk and continue to keep our eyes on you in all things, Lord. And Father, just open our eyes to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit in all things. And we just thank you for just helping us to separate the flesh from the Spirit and love the people that are bound up in religion and bound up in the world, and be a light unto them and be a city on the hill that shineth forth, Lord, that they can see Christ in us, and that you're going to open up the door for them to come to us, to come to that light. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just guide us this week. Bless this week, Lord. We thank you for your protection over us. And we thank you for all you're doing in our lives. Guide and direct us this week in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to praise the Lord.
Michael, this is Linda.
Yeah.
I want to tell you how much I appreciate your message about angels.
Oh, okay.
That is, I'm going to listen to it for the second time. And so who is that fellow that we need to, that you said look up so we can know the whole story?
Roland Buck, like Buck Knives. Okay. It's Roland Buck. I think that assignment, Angels on Assignment's on the site.
Okay, well I'll look that up.
Yeah, if it's not, just Google it and it'll come up.
What did you say his name was again?
Roland, R-O-L-A-N-D, Buck, B-U-C-K.
Buck, I'll write that down real quick. Thank you.
All right, God bless.
God bless. Right.
God bless you, Linda.
Thank you, hon.
Well, bye. All right. Well, good night, everybody. We love you, and we'll see you next Tuesday.